Welcome to the Telling Tales Revision Podcast. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into the AQA GCSE English Literature Anthology Telling Tales. If you're looking to boost your grades and really understand what examiners are looking for, you're in exactly the right place. So grab your notes, get comfortable, and let's get started. First, a quick overview of what this anthology actually is. The Telling Tales Anthology is a collection of 7 modern short stories, and it forms part of your modern prose study for AQA English Literature, Paper 2. The key thing to understand, and I cannot stress this enough, is that because short stories are so compact, every single word the writer chooses is absolutely deliberate. Examiners want to see that you understand the how and the why of the writer's craft, not just what happens, but how the writer makes it happen. So let's meet our 7 stories. We have Chemistry by Graham Swift, Odor of Chrysanthemums by D.H. Lawrence, My Polish Teacher's Tie by Helen Dunmore, The Darkness Out There by Penelope Lively, The Whole Town Sleeping by Ray Bradbury, A Family Supper by Kazuo Ishiguro, and Korea by John McGahern. 7 stories, 7 different worlds, but all connected by powerful, recurring themes. Now let's talk about those themes, because this is where you can really earn marks. A massive theme across this anthology is the gap between appearance and reality. Think about The Darkness Out There. Sandra and Carrie visit Mrs. Hutter, who seems like a sweet, harmless old lady. Penelope Lively even uses floral imagery and warm, cozy language to describe her home. But then comes the revelation. Mrs. Hutter deliberately left a German airman to die during the Second World War. The horror isn't in the dark woods called Packer's End. It's sitting in the living room, drinking tea. This is a brilliant example of how writers subvert our expectations to make a powerful point about human nature. Another huge theme is family conflict and the loss of innocence. In Chemistry by Graham Swift, the young narrator watches helplessly as his mother's new boyfriend, Ralph, disrupts the delicate balance of the family. The grandfather, who represents safety, wisdom, and the old order, is slowly pushed out. The grandfather's shed becomes a symbol of retreat and sanctuary. When the grandfather dies, the boy is left alone to navigate a world that has fundamentally changed. Graham Swift uses the metaphor of chemistry, the science of reactions, to show how the introduction of one new element can completely destabilize a system. And in Korea by John McGahern, the loss of innocence is even more brutal. The young narrator slowly realizes that his father's plan to send him to America isn't about opportunity. It's about money. The father wants to claim the insurance payout if his son dies in the Korean War. The fishing scenes, which seem peaceful and bonding on the surface, are actually a facade hiding this terrible calculation. McGahern uses the first-person perspective brilliantly here. We experience the dawning horror alongside the boy. Now let's talk about exam technique, because this is where many students lose marks they could easily have kept. The number one mistake I see is feature spotting. A student writes, "The writer uses a metaphor here, and then nothing. That's worth very little. What you need to do is explain the effect. Why did the writer choose that metaphor? What does it make the reader feel? How does it connect to the wider themes? Use the Peel structure, point, evidence, analysis, link, and make sure your analysis is the longest part of that chain." Another common mistake is bolting on context. You'll see responses where students write a whole paragraph about the Korean War or about mining communities in the early 20th century, completely disconnected from the text. Examiners don't want a history lesson. They want to see you use context to deepen your analysis. So instead of saying the Korean War happened between 1950 and 1953, say something like, "McGahern's use of the Korean War as a backdrop heightens the sense of danger and sacrifice, making the father's willingness to send his son into that conflict all the more chilling." For AO3, which is the context assessment objective, you should be weaving context into your paragraphs, not adding it as an afterthought. Think of it like seasoning and cooking. It should be present throughout, not dumped on at the end. Now for our quick-fire recall quiz, I'll ask a question, give you a moment to think, and then give you the answer. Question 1. What does the grandfather's shed represent in Chemistry? Think about it. The shed represents a sanctuary, a place of safety, control, and retreat from the toxic emotional chemistry of the house. It's where the grandfather can exist on his own terms. Question 2. In A Family Supper by Kazuo Ishiguro, What is the fugu fish a symbol of? Take a moment. The fugu fish symbolizes danger, the unspoken threat of death, and the toxic history within the family. The mother died from eating it, and its presence over the meal creates an atmosphere of psychological menace. Question 3. What is the central irony in the darkness out there? Here's a clue. Think about the title. The irony is that the darkness Sandra fears is not in Packer's End, the dark woods. The real darkness is inside Mrs. Hutter, an ordinary-looking old woman. The title refers to the darkness within human nature, not the physical world. So, to summarize everything we've covered today, the Telling Tales anthology rewards students who look beneath the surface. Every story has a moment of revelation, an epiphany, where the truth is exposed. Writers use symbols, narrative perspective, and structural contrasts to guide you to that moment. In the exam, your job is to show the examiner that you understand how those techniques work together to create meaning. Remember, analyze the how, integrate your context, embed your quotes, and always, always link back to the question. You've got this. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.